The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'm going to drop in some suggestions. Just see what bubbles up. Doesn't have to be complicated. Doesn't have to be a big project. We can just relax and see what comes up. When you think back on your life, can you remember a time when you were resolved? You acted based on a strong determination. You followed through. You had some stick-to-itiveness. Maybe it wasn't perfect, but it was a certain commitment. Can you remember a time in your life? What did it feel like in your body to have this resolve? What was the felt sense of it? How did it feel emotionally? How did it feel mentally to have this strong determination? What were the sensations? What was the mindset, the mental states that were involved with being determined? Thinking back when you had this strong determination, how satisfying was it? How meaningful was it? See if you can tap into that experience of resolve and strong determination. So in a moment, I'll introduce myself and introduce the day, what we're going to do here. But before we get there, I'd like to hear back, what was that like? What was it like to kind of like re-experience or embody or imagine, remember? What was it like to have that experience of resolve and strong determination? Some of you like to report back, what was both, either what was the experience of bringing that to mind, and when you brought it to mind, what did you discover? What's the experience of having resolve or determination? And maybe Kate can start with that. Oh, there we go. Great. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. I think Kate just turned it on. I think it works now.
Okay. Oh, it works now. Okay, thank you. My name is Henrika.
Thank you.
And it was like a congruent feeling, like I am in line with some universal truth or some guiding light, like I'm on the right path, although the circumstances were frequently, when I recall, opposite. But the fact that I was in line with the truth of my truth, some sort, was more important than the difficulties of facing the obstacles to get there. But the conviction was there. It's such a feeling of being home, actually.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. Henrietta, is that your name?
Henrika.
Thank you, Henrika. Anybody else want to report? Or, so we'll do Kate, and then we'll, I think behind you, actually behind you is first, and then we'll come here. No, so Kate, you can go now.
My experience of determination is sort of solid and rigid and, you know, narrow and focused. It's not necessarily a creative time, and I didn't feel what Henrika mentioned, because it's more gritty and nose to the grindstone kind of thing. And if I encounter an obstacle where I get knocked down, then it's, you know, it's very difficult.
Mm. Oh, great. Thank you for sharing that, Kate. And then I think, yes, back there.
Is this on there?
Yes.
I'm Clarice.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
Clarice. I so resonated with what Henrika said, that I didn't articulate it in myself as recognizing the truth, but I think that that's really a great description, and I just felt really impassioned, and my body felt quite alive, and it was just really nice to be reminded of that.
Great. Thank you, Clarice.
Hi, my name is Don.
Don.
When the thoughts first came to me about determination and focus, the feeling was one of, I remember when I've had that, and it's always been about associated, when I have that, something related to success. And if you would have asked me before, I don't know how long ago, but oh, I said, wow, that was really good. But looking at it now, it was all about self-will, grasping. You know, it wasn't intention. It was grasping. It was not fulfilling. at the time it felt fulfilling. And I can go through my life, there's been a series of these events where it's like, wow, I'm going to do this, and I grasp so hard. And then when I finally get it, what did I get? Mm. But boy, I was determined. I was focused. Come hell or high water, I was going to get what I wanted, and I'd get it. Mm. But then what was it?
Yeah. Like we have this, many of us have this experience where at the time it seems like one thing, and then when we look back on it, it looks a little different. Yeah, thank you, Dawn. Yes, we can go here. And then I think back here, too.
My name is Jill, and I...
Jill.
Yes,
thank you.
And I resonate with what Dawn said, is that, I mean, at first it felt good, but then I remembered how kind of closed-minded I was and how kind of egotistical it was. Like, I knew. I mean, when I was determined, I felt like, there was a closing in of openness and yeah, it was not pleasant.
Thank you, Jill.
Hi, I'm Morgan.
Morgan?
Yes. My touching into it was really sad, and it made me cry because it was realizing that it was all about ego. It was all about setting your goal according not to your authentic, not to your inner guide. It was a determination to actually disconnect from it, to disconnect from other people. I realized in my determination and my resolve that I shut other people out and was focused on myself, the ego, not even my essence. It was myself, according to the social conditioning. And it's very painful what to do to other people and to stop listening to yourself, inner self, and other people. And I, just as the tears came down, I was like, I never want to have that type of resolve again. Mm.
Wow. Thank you for sharing, Morgan. So we'll hear, and then Dad will go to here.
Hello. My name is Taylor.
Taylor?
Yes, yes. And I would agree. I mean, I think when I look back, there's a lot of... I don't know if I have a lot of clear discernment on the difference between sort of wholesome adithana determination versus sort of unskillful, greed-fueled, over-efforting on a particular goal or, endeavor.
Yeah, so. Right? So this word determination, it's clear it has maybe a shadow side and a sunny side. Thank you.
My name is Sandy, and I think for me, when I look back at the times when I felt really resolved about something, I had a feeling of being unified and a feeling of a solid feeling, and it was a very, although sometimes it was difficult, it was also very joyful.
Great. Great, thank you. I already forgot, what is your name?
Sandy.
Sandy, thank you, Sandy. Anybody else? Yeah. So, Gail.
Hi, I'm Gail. And what came up for me was when I am resolved... when I was resolved in the event that I was considering, courage came more. It seemed that courage came from that. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of hoops to go through, and I was very shy, especially at this time. It was a long time ago. But I went through all those hoops and faced situations that were scary to me, and it just felt very fulfilling and heartful. Mm. I was glad for this backdrop of determination.
Great. Thank you, Gail. Anybody else? I'll share what was that kind of like felt experience. So, as may not be a surprise, today's topic is resolve, determination, adhidhana in the Pali language, the eighth of the paramis. I'm Diana Clark. Gil, he wanted to be here, but you know that he also teaches a chaplaincy program. It's a year-long program here. And today, the chaplaincy group is going up to San Quentin, so the prison, and they meet with some prisoners up there, and there's some Buddhist practitioners who are working with the prisoners. And Gil wasn't planning on going. He was planning on being here. But then his son expressed an interest to go to San Quentin and meet some of the men there and see how that is. And Gil kind of jumped on this opportunity to spend some time with his son. So he and his son are going up to San Quentin. So they're spending the day up there. I had asked Gil, please make sure that the calendar gets changed and that the flyers get changed. Everybody knows it's Diana Clark, not Gil Fronstahl. So I apologize because I just saw that there's a little flyer out there that says Gil Fronstahl is doing this. So I think that's what happens, right? When you have an all-volunteer organization, some things kind of fall through the cracks or maybe don't get done in the way that we would like. So I apologize if you were hoping, wishing, waiting for Gil, and instead there's somebody else sitting up here. Maybe I'll say just a little bit about myself is that I kind of really started my Dharma practice in earnest here at IMC. And my friend called me a Dharma bolter because I would come, like listen to a Dharma talk and then be the first out the door. I didn't want to talk to anybody or, you know, do anything. And my friend was saying, no, you got to come to these Dharma practice days. They're really great. You really get to, you know, practice in a different way. It's different than just kind of listening and meditating. And I didn't want to go. I felt shy. I was afraid to talk to people. But he convinced me and he said, okay, just come and then I'll be in every group with you. That, you know, he's going to like babysit me, right? I'm an adult, but at the same time, I kind of felt like, okay, if he does that, it'll be fine. It turned out fantastic. Coming to these Dharma practice days kind of changed my life in a way of meeting other people, engaging with the Dharma in a different way, more than just sitting and listening to Dharma talks. And it really just kind of really enriched my life in so many ways. And look, I never imagined I would be the one that's sitting up here, but now here I am. So I welcome you all. And for those of you who haven't been to Dharma practice days, they're a way for us, as I said, to practice in a more engaging way, where we talk to one another, we do this type of thing, handing the microphone around and talking. It's more about ourselves exploring. It's more about ourselves finding our way. I'll do some teaching, but it's more about, we all have a certain amount of wisdom, right? And we all have life experiences, and we all have dreams and aspirations about the future. So how can we pull all these together in a way to support our lives and to support our practice? So that's kind of what Dharma practice days are about. You may know that this is the eighth meeting on this one for the 10 paramis, the 10 perfections, parami being the Pali word for perfection. And this is month number 8, resolve or strong determination. And I think of the paramis or the perfections, I used to think like, oh, I have to be perfect and all these things, and I felt kind of daunting and a little bit off-putting, to be frank. But then I realized it's actually not about myself being perfect. It's about more finding balance. It's more finding like a balanced expression, a perfect, I'll just use this word, expression, manifestation of them for each moment, like what in that moment, how can these different paramis arise and express themselves? How can we use them in our daily lives? Unlike some of the other lists that the Buddhists love, and I'll admit that I'm one of these people, I love these lists, that these ones are really oriented towards daily life practice. Like, how can we bring these qualities of mind, how can we bring these intentions to all aspects of our life, not just our meditative practice, maybe not some lofty inspirations we have, but how can they influence and affect and guide us in everything we do, including like our inner dialogue, how we talk to ourselves, how we talk to others, how we work, you know, how do we apply ourselves, how do we meet our commitments, how do we work with our families and our coworkers, and all these ways, the paramis, the perfections, our qualities of mind, some intentions, aspirations that we can bring to all these areas of our lives. So what are the 10 paramis? Actually, let's see if, let's group source this, crowdsource it. It's okay if you don't know, but we'll see. And we won't use the microphone, I'll just repeat after you. Does anybody remember, what is the first one?
Generosity.
Fantastic, generosity. Second one? Sila, virtue, morality. Third one? Renunciation, like letting go. This one tends to be less popular. The fourth one? Wisdom, panya. Fantastic. Fifth one? Virya, so energy or effort. And six is patience, kanti. Seven? Truthfulness, just last month, satcha. Today is resolve. You get bonus points if you know what the next one is. Metta, loving kindness. And the last one?
Equanimity,
upekkha. As a little aside, so next month, loving kindness, that'll be done by Nikki Mirgafori. I forgot why Gail can't be there. He told me, but I forgot. But he'll be back for equanimity, the last one. Equanimity is kind of like the crown jewel of so many of these things, right? Seven Factors Awakening, Brahma Viharas, and the paramis. So he'll be back for that one. Generosity, virtue, renunciation, wisdom, energy, patience, truthfulness, resolve, loving kindness, and equanimity. You may or may not know that this list of the paramis was created actually after the death of the Buddha. So it's a later commentarial addition to the teachings. And part of the reasons why it was created is because when the followers of the Buddha were asking, well, how is it that this particular person, Gautama or Shakyamuni or however you may know him, how is it that this person was able to become a Buddha and to have, you know, awakening and to teach so many people? And they decided that it was actually because it must require these 10 things must be perfected through countless lifetimes, right? This is the kind of the fable, the story making, the worldview at the time. We don't have to believe that now. You can believe if you want to. You can do whatever's helpful. So they thought that it must require these 10 things in order to become a Buddha or to become awakened. And therefore, it would be good for us to develop these 10 things too. So what distinguished the Buddha from other people was that he had developed these to such a degree that it was his default way to respond to whatever happened. He would always respond with virtue and wisdom and energy and patience. He would always respond with loving kindness and equanimity and generosity. For me, I actually feel a little bit inspired by that, to think that it was possible that the historical Buddha, you know, was somebody who had this capability. So in this list, last month was truthfulness. We're doing resolve. Does anybody have any idea why is truthfulness after resolve? Like, why is this number 8? There doesn't have to be a particular reason. You know, when we learn these lists from the Buddhist lists, they're always in that order. And we can think that there's a reason for this order, or we can jumble them up. There's times, depending on our practice, where we could do this. But right now, it's number 8, after truthfulness. Does anybody have some ideas? Why would this be after truthfulness? No, truthfulness is 7, and resolve is 8. Can we use it's a motivator? It comes from truthfulness. So you're motivated once you see the truth, or
once you see the truth, you're motivated. I think, at least in my case, when I look back on those instances, finding the truth, whatever it was, pleasant or unpleasant, usual or unpleasant, was a motivator to move towards the solution.
Great. So seeing the truth at the moment is motivating. Anybody else have an idea?
Well, to me, it feels like I can know what's true, but then I need resolve to bring that truth into my life and act on it.
Fantastic, yeah. Thank you. Antoine?
My thoughts were that in order to, and I think someone brought this up earlier, is that in order to have true resolve, you need to be true to yourself. So what you could expect as resolve, if you're not true to yourself, as someone else said, and I think as I experienced, then what's the point?
Mm.
So resolve without truth is, I don't know what it is.
Resolve without truth, what is that? That's a good question. Great. I think Amy.
Hi. Truthfulness, when I first hear it here, I think in terms of me, because these perfections are in terms of my own practice. But in the actual discussion of truthfulness, I think of there's other people, important people in the world that are not truthful. And so that truthfulness becomes a big pivot point, and that I can look at someone that is not being truthful and sense that they're not being truthful. And it gives me resolve to do what's right.
Mm.
And to realize that what I can do to counteract the untruthfulness and the negative that's coming out of that would be to have resolve to do the right thing and the truthful thing.
Great. So meeting untruthfulness can be a motivator.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? So what about the next month is metta, loving kindness. Why might loving kindness come after resolve? Is there a relationship between resolve and loving kindness? Yes. Can we send a microphone up onto the stage? We can just do the microphones as kind of like a group project. It's nice, right? Because it's hard to sit still all the time. So it may be nice to get up and get the microphone or move it.
Yeah, I think it points to what other people were saying earlier, is once you have the resolve, how you act on it matters, I think. And if you bring some kindness and softness to it versus that, you know, jaw clenched kind of, I'm going to go for it or die kind of thing. So
great. Just kind of bring some softness, kindness to it. Anybody else have some ideas? Oh, so right here next to you.
My name is Rob. I think both truth and resolve can have a very sharp edge to them.
I'm sorry, I had a short...
Sharp edge.
Oh, sharp edge.
And I think compassion is necessary, and that it gets expressed as loving kindness.
Nice, soften the edges, truth and resolve.
I was just wanting to just add on to that. What came up for me is I have many times I make wonderful resolutions and I fail. And without loving kindness, it becomes it can become something that brings me down rather than pushes me further to continue.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, Gail.
What was just coming up for me is how important and energizing and resolve feeding it is for me to feel connected with other beings, to feel the affection and the connection with other people is just vital. And helps me in being resolved.
Great connection. Yeah, lots of good things here. Thank you. So let's get into some small groups and we'll discuss this a little bit more. I'll give you the question and then I'll... I'll do the setup first. So those of you who have been here to Dharma Practice Days, you know that when we get into these small groups, it's not so much that we're having a regular conversation like you would if you were meeting your friend for coffee or something like this. And it's not that you're telling something for their benefit so that your person you're speaking to can become more wise or can gain something. It's more for your benefit. In order for it to be your benefit, you can be just on the edge of what you're sure about, just on the edge of what you know. And maybe you hear yourself saying something that you didn't really knew that you knew. Or you may hear yourself saying something like, I wonder, wow, where did that come from? So it's less storytelling and more kind of exploring, discovering out loud with others. So if you do find yourself that you're telling a story, so you can maybe like jump over all the details and like get to the end. And this is a way that we can get beyond kind of like the well-worn ways of like, yeah, I have this thing, right? It's this experience, and maybe you've told this story a number of times. Maybe see if you can get beyond that a little bit. And so in this way, one person will talk at a time, and you're welcome to pause, to think a little bit, or, you know, to explore. You don't have to entertain the other person. They're going to hold the space for you. They're not going to run away, hopefully. So the other person is mostly listening. And let's get into groups of three. And there's going to be a question that's a little bit vague so that you can find your way with it, right? It's not about answering the question perfectly, but you know, kind of providing an impetus for you to explore. And some of you shared this in when we were giving reporting back after the guided meditation, but what has been your experience in being resolved? What is the experience? Like, what's the embodied sense of it? What are the benefits you've received from being resolved through this, maybe being resolved in this spiritual practice specifically? Have there been some benefits as opposed to just in general? What supported it? What were the conditions that really enabled you to have some resolve and determination? And perhaps what was it for your spiritual practice that you were resolved in? You don't have to give gory details about this. You can be vague if you'd like, if you don't want to share kind of like their inner life, your inner practice. But so what was it like in general? Let's say this. Let's choose, if you've made some resolutions for spiritual practice specifically, if you haven't, then what have you can draw from being resolved something else in your life? What did it feel like? What were some of the benefits? Maybe what were some of the shadow sides? And what supported it? What allowed it to follow through? And perhaps like what even was what it was. Is that okay? It's kind of a lot of things there. So maybe you can find something that you have energy around and that you could talk about. So let's get in groups of three and all ring the, and one person can start. And then I'll ring the bell and then you can switch. And then I'll ring the bell again and you can switch again. So if you want to get into groups of three and we'll have this conversation. So let's come back to the bigger group. Thank you to the two of you. I know that was a long time for just two people, so thank you. Oh, good, good. So for those of you who have been coming to Dharma practice days, you probably know the drill, right? So now that we had this small group discussion, let's report back to the larger group. I didn't hear those. I'd love to hear some of the things that you came up with, that you discovered, that maybe you were surprised by, that maybe a new way to think about things, or maybe you discovered that your experience is really different than the other people, or maybe you discovered it's very similar, or what are some of the things you could share to the larger group? And I think that Dawn has a microphone. Oh, okay, but Amy, if you want, yeah. And here's another mic here.
Well, I think the thing that became apparent to the three of us was that we shared this with different subjects, we shared the similar passions and the similar resolve. It was for totally different things, but we had all felt that resolve, that powerful resolve. And that was a very unifying factor amongst the three of us.
Great.
That we knew what that was emotionally and in here.
Oh, nice, nice. Thank you. And
My name is Mar.
I'm sorry?
M-A-R.
M-A-R, Mar.
And what I found it very inspirational to hear other people talking. And I got some insights also from listening to the other people. Like, oh, I've never looked at it that way. And, you know, it was really interesting.
Great. Yes. So you were able to learn something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Mar. Lydia?
Hi, my name is Lydia. When Diana started the day and did the guided meditation, and I want us to think back. So all I could think about is solving the problems. And I just don't have a good grasp of this word resolve. So I kept thinking, this is very narrow, you know, I'm very task-driven. All my life, I want to get my problem in front of me solved. You know, that's my problem. If I don't solve it, I fail. But after we have the group of three discussion, and this definition of this resolve in my mind, it just keeps on expanding, keeps on getting bigger, getting bigger. So I realized that's reason. We need the intention, which is the truthfulness and value, and we need the metta on both sides. Just help me with the resolution. Keep on going. And the resolution is not a narrow-minded. It's so much broader. And yes, that's it.
Great. Thank you, Lydia. Yeah, it seems you better be careful. You may learn something on these things, right? Anybody else want to share what that experience was like, kind of exploring? Henrika,
yeah. I kind of connected the dots, what motivates me really in life, and it's being true to myself, speaking the truth and being true to myself. And it really has to do with that's where I see how I deal, how I eliminate, so to speak, suffering, because the suffering is an inner conflict. Mm-hmm. If I'm not true to myself, or I'm pretending if things are okay, or I am not following the truth, my truth, then there is a conflict and that's suffering. And when I, regardless of the circumstances, how I have to proceed from following that truth, being true to myself, difficulties are not a problem. It's not aligning myself with the truth is a problem. Mm. So that's what I realized.
Yes, thank you. Yes, aligning with the truth and not being aligned. Yeah, these are powerful. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Taylor. One of the things we did in our group was talk a little bit about how resolve relates to some of the other sort of qualities, including things like faith and confidence. And how sort of the quiet sort of, you know, knowing that, you know, you're just heading in the right direction, mm-hmm. and you just, you know, the persistence of that, keeping with that. And even now, it was interesting just thinking of all the little connections you make to everything, where one of the attributes of mindfulness, sati, is to remember, to come back again and again. And that suddenly strikes me a lot like resolution, mm-hmm. where you're, you know, you may deviate off your objective, but then you have to come back gently,
exactly.
and patiently, and then just gently pursue it exactly. over and over again.
It's kind of persistent and gentle. And the faith, not only faith that it's a worthwhile thing to have resolve on, but kind of faith that we're capable, that we can do this, whatever we've, you know, set our resolve on. Yeah. Thank you, Taylor. Yes, Kate.
I have different feelings between resolve and determination. And so at first I just got a little confused because you're using both of them. Mm-hmm. And they're very different to me. So that's, you know.
I'd love to hear. How are they different?
Well, resolve is softer and determination has more grip and edge and hardness to it.
Now, this is a good point, and I am using both of these words. Adhidhana gets translated both ways, and so we can maybe say, well, is it softer when we're doing it with our spiritual practice, and maybe as a little grittier with our kids or our job, or, you know, there's maybe we could, this is something we could explore. Is there a difference between resolve and determination, and we use one or the other in different aspects of our lives? Thank you, Kate. Richard.
So, Richard, and in response to Kate, I kind of have that same sense, and I think resolve has a sort of a quality of dissolving, sort of in the sense of, what's the poly? Viraga, in the sense of sort of the dye fading away. Yeah. There's a more of an easeful component to the dissolution, in a sense, is what I'm trying to say. It's more, it's not so, like, determination has a sense of effort, a sense of more virious, sort of like, okay, I've got to get up today, I'm going to go sit now, energy, versus more of a overall softening, a sense of maybe just the attitude starts to change, you know, oh, this is, there's more ease associated with it, is what I hear kind of she's saying.
And is that your experience?
Yeah, I think that's true too. I think over time, the longer you practice, the less determination needs to be required, and it's just more like it's part of the DNA. You go, oh yeah, I'm going to resolve to sit now instead of I'm determined to sit.
So you have both of these qualities.
And yeah, and I think I don't think you have to have one or the other. It's more a question of sometimes you'll feel, I've got it. You start to feel like, this, you know what I mean? Like maybe the faith has something to do that's woven through that. Maybe that's a component of it. Just some thoughts.
Thank you, Richard. We have Judy in the back. Oh, and you have a mic. Great.
Yeah. Following up very much on what Richard just said, we got to the word confidence. Like we started with, there's a problem, I can solve it, I can do this, and that's resolve. But if we think of it as in terms of confidence, it's a softer way of saying I can do this instead of just pushing ahead. And my motivation is usually fulfilling responsibility and avoiding blame, and confidence kind of helps lighten up that.
Yeah, it's interesting to see kind of like what fuels things and avoiding blame. Sometimes we don't want to admit it, but that is sometimes what's fueling things. Thank you, Judy. Don?
It's very easy to get wrapped up in debating resolve versus determination. If I could borrow your singing bowl for a minute, one of the best demonstrations I've ever seen is the difference between the two. And this may have been Gil, or I may have stolen it off a Dharma video, but it's, this is, if I can.
You probably want this.
Yeah, this. So.
Shall I hold the mic so people can hear you?
No, so this is resolve. And this is determination.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Is that Gil?
I've seen him do this, not for resolve and determination, okay, but
yeah,
you have to take that. Somebody has to take the microphone. But can we imagine, this may be true for some of us, it may not be true for some of us, but it's a different way for us to think about what is the stick-to-itiveness, the follow-through. Maybe sometimes what's exactly needed is to kind of hold on and to do this. Maybe that's exactly what's needed sometime, right? If we have some things coming up and the only thing we can do is not yell at the person, not, you know, just act out in some way. Maybe that's all we can do and this is what's needed. Maybe we just need some gentle persistence just to help build a habit, you know, just to keep coming back, even just as Taylor was saying, like kind of with meditation, right? We just kind of softly come back. So it's not like we need one or the other, or one's better than the other. I think part of skillfulness and wisdom is to know how to be, what's needed. Do we need a little bit of strength and oomph behind it, or do we need some relaxation and openness behind it? Does anybody else have a comment, something they'd like to share? Okay, so it's 11 o'clock. Let's take a break. So let's take a 20-minute break until 11:20. Thank you.